Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Hold your Bible up. Let's say it like we mean it, because we do. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord your best shout, would you? Amen. Give him your best shout. Open your Bible tonight, and let's don't show it on the screens quite yet, guys, but let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And we're beginning a brand new series this month on the happiness advantage. And I think it's going to be, I believe it's going to be enlightening. We're going to get revelation. We're going to grow. And we're going to be happier by the end of this month than we already are today. Amen? Will you agree with that? Because we come to church to get results, right? We want to grow. We want our family to grow. We want to know God. We want to know His purpose. We want to fulfill all that He has for us. So the happiness advantage, Pastor, where did you come up with this? Well, about 2 years ago, a sports psychologist, a good friend of mine, he does it for the Cardinals and other pro teams. He's a mental mindset coach for them. And we were talking one day, and he said, Dave, have you ever read the book called The Happiness Advantage? I said, no, I haven't. He said, you need to read it. You need to get it. It's a great book, The Happiness Advantage. So I went out and got on Audible, and I've listened to it 2 or 3 times. And the book basically is all about research. It's all about research and how that they've done research on happiness, and they found out that people who are happy, number one, are more healthy. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 points here at the very beginning. You might want to get the book. The whole thing was about research and the benefits of happiness and what the definition of happiness is. And in the book, it said 49% of everyone who has a job in America, they go to work unhappy. 1 out of 2 is unhappy at their job and their career. And we know that we live in a very broken world. Stress, overwhelmed, you know, we all deal with different things every day in the world that we live in. And, you know, it's important that you and I understand that God wants us to have an abundant life, a victorious life, and an overcoming life. Even in the world that we live in, we're to be of good cheer because He has overcome the world for us, right? So in the book, it's all packed with research. So number one, they said that people who are happy, they're healthier. Number one. Number two, they found out that happiness will cause you to have more resilience. You bounce back quicker from tragedies and crisis and problems in your life. So healthier, more resilient. Number three, they're more motivated. Happy people are motivated people. Now, let me just clarify right here, because I was sharing with Pastor Kim, and she said, well, isn't that joy? I said, no. Happiness is not joy, and joy is not happiness. They're two different things. When we talk about the joy, it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the character of Christ. But happiness is a positive emotion. Happiness is a positive emotion. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to define it for you from what Webster's dictionary says happiness is. Then I'm going to define it for you from the Bible. And then I'm going to share with you 3 habits to develop happiness. Is that okay? Yeah. So happy people are healthier people. They're more resilient. They fight back. They get back quicker. They bounce back quicker. Number three, they're more motivated. They're more motivated. Next, it said in the book, they're more creative. They're more creative. And the list goes on, and I just want to throw out three or four of the benefits of happiness. Now, I'm thinking in the Bible of the story of Solomon and Queen Sheba. Do you remember she came to visit Solomon to get wisdom from him? And do you remember that she stood before Solomon's court, brought all these gifts, and Solomon's guards were standing there. If you read it in the Old Testament, the one thing that stood out to her, the Queen of Sheba, was she said, they're all happy. That all the men that was in his court that was there with Solomon in his regime, she said that they were all happy. And that was the number one characteristic that was brought out in Solomon's court. Wasn't wisdom, wasn't riches or wealth, even though she went there for wisdom, but she said she couldn't believe. In fact, it says she fell back just looking at all the splendor and the greatness and the happiness of those who were around Solomon. So happiness, the advantage, it does give you an advantage. Which comes first, success or happiness? Happiness comes before success. Happiness comes before success. A happy spirit, a happy person, a person that has developed the habit of happiness, it will feed and fuel your passion, your motivation, your drive, your ambition, your achievements, and your success. So the myth is, I'll be happy when I get the house. No, you won't. I'll be happy when I get a new car, just for a little bit. I'll be happy when I get married. We're going to pray for you. Come on. Yeah, we all can, right? We've all said, I'll be happy when. That's a myth, isn't it? Happiness always precedes really true success. It's not successful and then I'm happy. It's I'm happy where I'm at, and that feeds and fuels my life to do great things, to aspire, great ambition, great goals, great achievement, and it procures success in my life. So happiness comes before success. That old myth of, you know, when I get that, when I get there, when I accomplish my goals, when I get married, when I get the new dress, when I get the new car, get the new job, get a raise, then I'll be happy. And we know that only lasts for just a little bit. Am I right, church? So we're looking at a happiness advantage. People who have developed the habits that bring happiness have an advantage over people who are unhappy. And all month, I want to talk about how you and I as Christians can be happy in an unhappy world. So I want to give you now the definition from the Bible, and then I want to give you a definition from Webster. Is that okay? So the definition from the Bible, this is your Strong's Concordance. If you have a Strong's Concordance, you can look it up and check it out. But this is what the Bible definition of happiness is. Now remember, happiness is not joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a character trait of Christ. Amen. In his presence is fullness of joy. Happiness is also in the Bible. Doesn't the Bible say, happy are those who put their trust in the Lord? The word happy and happiness is all through the Bible. So what is the Bible definition of happy? I love the Bible definition because it means this, to move forward. To move forward. Strong's Concordance, Smith Bible Dictionary, and other Bible dictionaries, the definition for the Bible word happy, it means to move forward. And now think about it. When you're moving forward, aren't you happier than when you're stagnant, stuck? So Strong's Concordance, the word happy means Bible definition, to move forward / growth. Growth. Aren't you glad you go to a church with a growth track? Just threw that in there. You knew I had to, right? Aren't you glad you're around a church that has a growth culture? That we celebrate growth, that we want to grow, that our word for this year is better. Yes. And I was listening to the Cardinals the other night. They were interviewing the manager, and they asked the manager for this year, seriously, it was on KMOX, and they said, you know, well, what is your goal this year for the Cardinals? And honestly, all of our dream team, they're going to think this is amazing. He said this, my goal for the Cardinals this year, and the word that we want to talk about more than any other word in the clubhouse, is better. He said, all I want from the Cardinals, this is the manager, is he said, I want every one of them to grow personally and get better. He's been sitting in our services. You know that? I didn't know the manager of the Cardinals watched us online. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because that's our theme this year, right? Better and personal growth. So the Bible definition of happy, it means to move forward and grow. Don't you like that? You know, if you'll look, and we'll look in our study, but if you'll look, another word used in the Bible for the word happy is the word blessed. Did you know that? Another word for the word happy is the word blessed. Let me give you an illustration. Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, it starts out, blessed is the man or the woman who, what? Doesn't walk or sit or stand in the counsel of the ungodly, but they meditate in the word of God day and night, night and day, right? It says blessed. If you have an amplified Bible for the word blessed, it says happy. It says happy. In the Bible, the word happy and the word blessed is interchangeable. Is that cool or what? The word happy and the word blessed is interchangeable. And the word happy means to move forward and to grow. People who are growing, wow, they're so busy rowing the boat, they don't rock the boat. People who are growing, they're fun to be around, aren't they? Kim talked about having fun at the ladies' event. People who are growing are exciting to be around. People who are growing, they're upbeat, they're motivated, they're creative, they're excited, they're looking forward to the future. Amen. So the happiness advantage. The Bible says that the definition of the word happy is to move forward and what? And to grow. All right? Now, I looked it up, the word happy, in my 1828 Webster's Dictionary that Jerry Savelle gave to me years ago. It's an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and here's the definition of happy in Webster's Dictionary. Peace of mind, happy. Peace of mind, can we all say that? Peace of mind, wow, when you got peace of mind, you're happy. Right? So Webster's Dictionary, 1828, for the definition for happy, is peace of mind, favor, in the favor of God. That's Webster's Dictionary. Peace of mind, comma, in the favor of God. You know, when you have the peace of God in your life and you're focusing on declaring and believing that you have the favor of God on your life, it creates a positive emotion we call happiness. Are you with me, church? When you have the peace of God, say peace of God. And when you're walking in the favor of God, say the favor of God. And when you're focusing on it, when you're meditating on it, when you're confessing it, declaring it, expecting it, the peace of God and the favor of God, it creates a positive emotion called happy. Whoa, I'm getting happy. I don't know about y'all. You should be getting happy right now. So if you're unhappy, think about it. What have you been thinking about? If you're unhappy, what's had your attention all week? If you're unhappy, when's the last time you declared you had the favor of God on your life? If you're unhappy, when's the last time you begin to meditate? The Bible says those whose mind is upon God, it says perfect peace they'll have. So if I'm not experiencing the peace of God, if I don't believe in the favor of God, no wonder I'm unhappy. But if I believe that Jesus wants me to have peace of mind and wants me to walk in the favor of God, it's going to create a positive outlook, a positive perspective, a positive confession, a positive emotion in my life called happiness. Somebody give the Lord a good praise, would you? Come on, is that your best praise tonight? Oh, he gave his life for you. Give him your best praise. Amen. So, peace of mind, say that with me. Favor of God. Now, this is Webster, 1828. Webster, 1828. It goes on to say, peace of mind, comma, in the favor of God, comma, Webster now, if I'm lying, fry me, the presence of God, enjoying the presence of God. So if I'm unhappy, evidently I'm not enjoying the presence of God. He said, you heard our sister say tonight that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Are you practicing? Am I practicing the presence of God? If I'm practicing the presence of God, it's called the anointing. It's called the omnipresence. It's called the glory of God. If I'm practicing, if I'm enjoying the presence of God, it's creating a positive emotion called happiness. Woo! This is Webster. Boy, I'm way more excited than you are. I wish I had a mirror tonight. You could see yourself and your response. Hallelujah. So it means to move forward. It means to grow. So if I'm not growing, no wonder I'm unhappy. If I'm not moving forward, no wonder I'm unhappy. God created you to be fruitful, multiply, and reproduce. It means also to have peace of mind in the favor of God, enjoying the presence of God, favor of God. And look at this. It says this, looking forward to your future life. Period. That's the definition of happiness in Webster's dictionary. Looking forward to your future life. Oh my goodness, people who are happy, people who are experience happiness, that positive emotion is defined as a positive emotion. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's a positive emotion. And how many of you know God wants us to have our emotions under control? He does not want our emotions to control us. He wants us to control our emotions. And how many of you know God wants your emotions blessed? Yes. Beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your, that's your emotions. That's your emotions. That's your emotions. Your soul is your emotions. Even as your soul prospers. So say it with me, I have a prospering soul. My emotions are blessed. Ooh, wow. Man, I like it. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, let's just have a praise break right now. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we're enjoying your presence. Oh, we're enjoying our fellowship with you, God. We're enjoying our walk with you. God, we're looking forward to our future life. God, we are making a difference with an eternity mindset. Oh, God, we are highly favored. We are blessed. Oh, Father, we thank you. We focus on that. We think about that. We meditate on that. We dwell on that. Oh, God, we are planted, oh, by the rivers, streams of living water, bringing forth fruit in our due season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bind depression. I bind fear. I bind anxiety. In the name of Jesus, I bind self-pity. I bind suicidal thoughts in Jesus' name. And I release, God, your presence, which produces, God, your favor, which produces, God, their emotions that are blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we're not going to stay down. We're not going to live in the mully grubs. God, we are not going to be sick and weak and defeated. God, we're going to be healthy and wealthy and blessed and wise, achieving, overcoming, accomplishing and doing, planting. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Wow. Well, we just had a praise fit, didn't we? Glory to God. So I'm spending time on this because we rush over it, and this is the whole foundation of this whole series. You've got to know the definition of happiness. That book, Happiness Advantage. A psychologist, a sports psychologist for the Cardinals, told me, Dave, you got to read it. It's a good book. It's full of research. And it really is. Gives you all kinds of examples how people who are happier have a higher pay scale. Yep. This is a secular book. People who are happier are healthier, higher pay scale, achieve more, greater success, more friends. The list goes on. They're motivated. They're created. They bounce back quicker than those who are depressed, feeling sorry for themselves and self-pity. Now, we all have things we could get down over, don't we? But the key is what? What you're thinking, you're feeling, right? And if you're feeling unhappy, it's because you're thinking the wrong thoughts. We got to meditate on the Word of God, which says you're highly favored, you're highly blessed, you're highly loved, you're a child of God, you're a king's kid, you have an assignment, you have a purpose, you have a gift, a talent, an anointing. Oh, glory to God. You have an inheritance. You have a future. Wow. You start thinking about that, what happens? Positive emotion. Glory to God. And those that are happy have a greater advantage on those who are sad, depressed, defeated, and weak. And happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is not joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, one of the nine. Happiness is a positive emotion. God made us emotional beings. He wants us to control our emotions. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So what are we doing? We're telling our emotions to bless the Lord. We're controlling. Your soul is your emotions. It's not your spirit. Your soul is your emotions, not your spirit. And we are to control our soul. We are to control our emotions by renewing them in the Word of God. Wow. Well, I'm excited. Are you excited about this month? Ooh, I'm excited. So again, real quick, and then I'm going to give you the three habits, okay? Habits for happiness. So again, it means happiness. It means to move forward. This is from Strong's Concordance. To move forward, to achieve, to accomplish, and to grow. It means to be blessed and prosper. That's Strong's Concordance. To be blessed and prosper. Webster's Dictionary, 1828, means peace of mind, in the favor of God, enjoying the presence and the favor of God, looking forward to your future life. It's a positive emotion, and God wants our emotions blessed. Amen. All right, so now let's look at three habits that develop happiness. Is that okay with y'all? Amen. All right, so let's look at Ecclesiastes now, 12 and verse 13. So let God's word speak to you, okay? Let the word of God speak to you. I've been praying all day that God would speak to your right now word tonight. Amen. All right. All has been heard. This is Solomon he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Most of that was when he was in a backslidden state. All has been heard. The end of the matter is this. He said, I've had everything. I've done everything. It didn't satisfy. The conclusion is this. The wisest man that ever lived outside Christ, here's what he says. The conclusion is this. Fear God. And that's what you all are doing tonight, right? So you are wise people. Amen. Fear God, revere God, and worship him, knowing that he is who he says he is, and obey his commandments. For this is the whole of man. Notice, this is the original purpose of man. I want to know my purpose tonight, Pastor. Here it is. Here's your purpose. Here's my purpose. This is the whole of man, the full, the original purpose of his creation. And that is what? The object of God's providence, the root of character, and the foundation of all what? There's the word happiness, the foundation of all happiness. In other words, this is what you build real happiness upon. You don't build it on things going on around you. You build real Bible happiness on this. So he said, this is the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all in harmonious circumstances and conditions that come our way, and the whole duty for every man. So the foundation for happiness is what? To fear God, revere God, and worship God. Or can we say it this way? Put God first. Put God first. Or can we say it this way? The first habit for happiness is to know God. The purpose of every one of us in this room, and those are Church Online, Church on the Rock, the purpose for every one of us is to know God. Before family, before career, before achievements, making money, all the above, our number one purpose is to know God. And if we make that our pursuit, you do not want to make happiness your goal. You do not want to make happiness your goal. You do not want to make the pursuit of happiness your goal. You want to make your goal knowing God. And in knowing God and living in His presence, that will be the foundation for your happiness all throughout life. Because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is not a man that He should lie. And what He's promised, He will carry out and perform. Am I right, church? Amen. So the foundation for real happiness, you don't make it your goal to be happy, because you'll never be happy. You don't make your goal to pursue happiness. That should not be our number one goal. Our number one goal is should be to know God. And in knowing God, that is your foundation. Putting God first, that is your foundation for true, lasting, throughout all circumstances, in all earthly conditions, a eternal happiness. Oh, praise God. So everybody say, know God. Okay. Now, let's look at Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. When you come looking for me, this is God. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. How many of you are looking for him tonight? I am. Aren't you looking to get closer to him tonight? Sure you are. When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yes, when you get fed up. Yes, when you get really serious about knowing me, it's then I will reveal myself to you, says the Lord. When you get serious, when you get hungry, when you make it priority, and remember, this is the foundation. This is the foundation for real, lasting, endurable happiness. So he said, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. When you get serious about finding me, and you want me more than anything else. Isn't that us on Saturday night, church? Don't you want him more than anything else? I want him. I want to know him more than anything else in this world tonight. I want to get closer. I want to know him like I've never known him. I want a new revelation. I want to see a new facet. I want to go deeper so God can go wider in my life. Amen? So he said, when you get serious and you want me more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Oh my goodness. I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Isn't he a rewarder, as the team comes out, of those who diligently seek him? Isn't that what you all are doing tonight? You're diligently seeking him. Can't you expect him to reward you then this week? Aren't you expecting to walk in the favor of God? And tonight when you go to bed, have the peace of God in your mind? Aren't you glad he gives his beloved sleep at night? He talks to you while you're at sleep. He gives you visions and dreams and right now words, and you wake up with the answer you went to bed looking for. It's all in the Bible, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Look at a couple more scriptures with me. Psalm 144 and verse 15. What's the first word, church? Thank you for your enthusiasm tonight. What's the first word, church? Happy. Happy and blessed are the same word in the Bible. Wow. Happy. Happy and blessed are the people who are in such a case. Yes, y'all see it up here on the overheads? Happy, blessed, fortunate, that's favor, prosperous, and to be envied are the people who they've made God their Lord. When you put God first, and your number one goal is not to be happy, your number one goal is to know God, then He'll give you a happiness that will endure all earthly conditions and circumstances. Amen. So number one is to know God, to know God. And then look with me, if you would, on the overheads at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Look at Proverbs 28 and verse 14. Let's all read it together on the count of three. Those at home, read it with us. One, two, three. Number two, worship God, regardless your circumstances, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the conditions going on around you in the particular season you're in. And the good news, church, whatever you and I are in tonight, this too shall pass. It's just temporary. So what's the best thing we should do tonight if we want to be happy? Worship God. Worship God. Okay, Pastor, you said number one, know God. Yeah. And we'll elaborate this whole month on this. Number two, worship God. Why worship God? Well, the scripture says you'll be blessed, you'll be happy, you'll be prosperous, you walk in God's favor, regardless of your circumstances. In other words, no matter how you feel, you go ahead and choose to lift your hands. You choose to worship Him, sing a song, a new song, make a melody unto the Lord, dance before the Lord. You've decided that you're going to worship Him. Now, you know what worship does? It changes your focus. From what's making you sad and unhappy. Maybe your children. Maybe your children's children. Maybe your mother, your father, your husband, your wife. Maybe right now your health isn't so good. Maybe you just got a negative report from a doctor. Maybe you just didn't get the raise, didn't get the promotion, didn't get the recognition. I don't know what it is, but we all face these all kinds of conditions. And the good news is we can be happy in an unhappy world if happiness is not our goal. Our goal is, number one, to know God, and number two, to worship God. And He said, if we'll do that, regardless of what's going on, why? It changes our focus from our problems to His promises. We get our eyes off what's wrong, and we get our eyes on Him. Because what you're looking at, you're feeling. And your feeling is your emotions. Want to change your emotions? Change your focus. Change your emotions? Change your focus. Am I helping anybody tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. I hope I am. I want to. So number one, it was to know God. And number two is to worship God. Wow, I love that verse. Blessed, happy, favored, to be envied is the man or the woman who worships, fears, reveres God at all times, on your worst day, at all times, regardless of the circumstances, and you do not harden your heart and fall into calamity. God wants to take your and my calamity and turn it into an opportunity. Worship keeps you from getting a hard heart. Worship keeps your spirit tender and soft so that you can receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. And number three, you ready for this one? Number three. The scripture is Proverbs, I think, 14:21. Proverbs 14:21. Let's all read this on the count of three. Can we? Those of you at home, read it with us. Here we go. One, two, three.
He who despises
number three, random acts of kindness. In this book, they found out if you can just do one random act of kindness a day, it affects your emotions, and you'll be happier. A day, just one a day. That'd be a good challenge for us, wouldn't it? We're getting ready for a 90-day tithe test challenge, right, church? Wouldn't it be great to have a once-a-day random act of kindness? We have cards for you free out here as you leave these doors, go on the patio. I've been giving them out this week, you know, random act of kindness, those little cards. Don't forget them. They're free. We have them out there for you. Take as many as you want. But here's what they know. Here's what the Bible says. I didn't need Jason to tell me that. It was great that he did, but the Bible tells me that through giving to the poor and a random act of kindness, I'll be more blessed and more happier. than those around me. So very simply, how can I get out of depression, and how can I be happy in an unhappy world, and how can I be a little more steady in my emotions, and how can I get my emotions under control, and how can I get over what I'm going through, Pastor, and I want happiness. And you said, don't make it my goal. Make my goal to, number one, what? Know God. Number two, to what? Worship God. And number three, what? Random act of kindness every day. And you know, this is the weekend that we've asked you to bring food, the food trucks out there. And then next weekend, you know, we're going to pass out food on Saturday night. Saturday night only for those who need food. We want you to invite your friends, your neighbors, those you work with, because at the end of service, we're going to give them a box of food and be a blessing to those who need help on Saturday nights. Wow, random act of kindness. What am I doing? I'm positioning you to be happier this month than you've ever been before in your entire life. Are you ready for that? If you got something, give the Lord a good praise for His word. Hallelujah.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.